going to have a little bit of word tonight. Everybody say, yay! It's good. It's good. We've been talking about the nativity story and been taking a little bit of it every week. Tonight's the last night because baby Jesus is going to be born. Yeah, that's going to be exciting. But before we witness that on the big screen and see that wonderful event be portrayed in film, I want to talk just a little bit from the Word before we see that. And, you know, we've been celebrating the nativity story, as I said, and the precious gift that came to us through that story. And we've been kind of examining it and exploring it. And what I want to just bring out tonight is not necessarily an aspect of the nativity story like we've been doing, but with all this amazing news that happened around this event and about Jesus' arrival and how he was proclaimed, you know, not only at the event and right before the event, but years and years and years before, how it was proclaimed and prophesied and brought forth. And many times, as things were brought forth, many different names were attributed to Jesus. And that's what we want to look at tonight, just for a few minutes. You know, in Luke 1:31, when Gabriel appeared to Mary, he said, he announced, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
There we go. They told us his name would be called Jesus. Hundreds of years earlier in Isaiah 9:6, this is what we're told. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, I think everybody needs to say Wonderful,
Wonderful.
Counselor.
Counselor,
Mighty God,
Mighty God.
Everlasting Father,
Everlasting Father.
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
These are just some of the names that were given to us as his birth was being proclaimed. And I just want to take a moment just to maybe look at those that right there for a minute. You know, Wonderful. That was obvious, wasn't it, over what we've been studying and this time of year, what we look at in the nativity story. His very beginning started out as a miracle. It was wonderful, a wondrous thing, an amazing thing. It was amazing. His whole life was amazing. It was a miraculous life that he was able to live on this earth the time he did without sin. That was miraculous in itself. And of course, he did miracles. And through his death, he obtained for us the miracle of salvation. Wonderful is his name. It's wondrous. And he's also called Counselor in this verse. You know, he could advise and he could consult and he could guide. He does that for us today too. And you know, really, when you think about it, he's the only one who actually is qualified to give counsel to the ones he created. He is the only good counselor, true counselor that you can depend on, because he will counsel his creation in the right way. He's also the Mighty God, which of course gives us, you know, you just say those words and you can just, it just makes you feel that strength that comes from that. He's the Mighty God, powerful and strong. He's the champion. And it literally means mighty almighty. Wow. He is the mighty almighty, or the conquering God. He was also called in this verse the everlasting Father, meaning the Father of eternity, the planner of all the ages. He was the Father of all time. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus takes the place of God the Father in the Trinity, but what it does mean that Jesus contained every aspect of God within him, because he was and is part of that Trinity. And he was also called the Prince of Peace, and still is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's the peaceful Prince. He would come to earth, and even when he was on earth, he promoted his government or his kingdom, but he promoted it through peace and not through war, which everyone basically, when they promoted their kingdom, it was through war. But he is the Prince of Peace. But when we're talking about the names of Jesus and how he was proclaimed and the things that we were told before he was even born about his name, the name that I'm always drawn to this time of year, always, I can never get away from this name at Christmas time, and it's found in Matthew 1:23. It's actually a quote from Isaiah, a prophecy in Isaiah. But Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." which is translated God with us. I think it's one of my favorite names as far as how Jesus was proclaimed to us. And it says right there in that verse, what does Emmanuel mean? You better say it louder. Yes, he is. He is. He is. And, you know, thinking about that name tonight, that's the one I want to focus on for a few moments, is how he is with us. You know, how is he with us? Well, of course, we've been looking at the nativity story, and it's obvious that the first way that God was with us is through Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the earth, of course, the most familiar verse probably in the whole Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God came to the earth. God with us through Jesus. John 1:14 says, and the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, of course, the first way we know that God is with us, and that name, what it meant, is that Jesus himself, God, in the form of his Son, came to the earth to indwell mankind. So it was God with us. But what about, you know, that's all nice, and we love that part about the story of the nativity and how God came in Jesus, and Jesus was born, and he took that form of the flesh, and God was with us. But what about generations to come after that? What about us? I mean, is it just enough for us to know that God was with us? You know, is that what that means? Well, yeah, Jesus was here, but he's gone. He was with us. I'm not sure those words quite bring us as much comfort, do you? I don't think so either. But a lot of times in circles around you, Christians and believers, we don't realize it a lot of times, but we really do often focus on the fact that he came and that he died and that he rose again. Not really realizing that we kind of focus on an absent Jesus instead of a God with us, Jesus. And we don't want to do that. We want to pay attention to that, because really the greatest joy, the greatest secret joy, it shouldn't be a secret, but the greatest joy of our Christianity is the fact that we believe in a present Jesus. He is with us. And that is what makes Christianity different. Yes, he was born. Yes, he went to heaven, but it wasn't over. He is still with us. He is not an absent Jesus. So it didn't stop just at that beginning when God was with us in the flesh. You know, we believe in the God who is with us and not the God who is away from us. He is still with us. And you know, that nativity story, it's not just a Christmas story, even though that's when we focus on it. It's not just a Christmas story. It is a story that is the central theme of all Christianity, and that theme is God with us. That's what it's all about, God with us. Now, we talked about how it first started and how God was with us, but what about now? Okay, what about now? Well, God is still with us. God is with us through his Holy Spirit. He is still with us. John 14:16-17. If you got a Bible, you might want to turn to it. It's not going to be on the screen because it's a little bit longer. But it's John 14. And starting at verse 16. Jesus is praying here, talking about God with us through the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for this is how we know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. So we are still talking about God with us. God is still with us. He indwells us. He is with us. He is in us. So he is still there. So, you know, even though Jesus went back to heaven and we know he's seated at the right hand of the Father, God is still with us. He didn't abandon us. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that God could still be with us. He's not an absent Jesus. He's not an absent Father God. He is present in our lives constantly because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of the Most High God when we believe on Jesus Christ. You know, of course, God said in the Word, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he's absolutely right. He's still with us, within us, and he's there. He's always with us. He's always within us. You know, when you go somewhere, you don't have to pray and say, well, God, please go with me. He's with you. God is with you. And he's with me. We don't have to invite him. He's going, you know, he's just going. And he does because he's within us. He is with us. And there's no question about it that the word that was proclaimed even back in the nativity story is still true. Even back in Isaiah is still true. God is with us even today and even now. Now, there's also a little bit more good news that we want to look at while we're thinking about Emmanuel, God with us. You know, God is also, you could think of it this way, God is with the world. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, he's with the world because we're in the world. And God is with us. So therefore, God is here in this world. He is here in this world. He is, we could say, he is incarnate in us, just like God was incarnate in that baby Jesus. He was there. And the name Emmanuel, of course, you know, is very appropriate for Jesus. We can certainly see that because it was God. He came and he manifested himself in the flesh. He came so that he could be among the people, God with us. He wanted to be among the people. He wanted to mingle with them. But what about now? Well, God still is manifested in the flesh now. He is still. How does he still mingle among the people? He's within us. He's within us. You know that song we sing sometimes. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. He's God with us. That's what we're talking about. Revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. Well, God is revealed to the world around us through God who is with us. He's revealed in us. When we walk around in the world, you know, everywhere we go, God is with us, and therefore he is out, he is there. He is there. He is mingling among the people, as it were, through you. He is still with us. You might want, if you've got your Bibles open still, I want to turn on over to John 17. Let's look at that for just a minute. John chapter 17. Again, Jesus is praying, talking to the Lord, talking to his Father. John 17, starting verse 16. He's praying and he says, you know, they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He's talking about us. He's talking about his original disciples, but he's also talking about us. He says, they're not of the world. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me, Father, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. He said right there, Father, just like you sent me to the earth so that I could show them what God with them would be like, I am sending these believers out into the world too so that the world can see what it's like to have God with us. So he continues on in verse 20. He says, I don't pray for these alone, talking about his disciples there, but for also for all of those who will believe on me through their word. He's talking about us, future disciples, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's why we have God with us, so that we can take him out there everywhere we go and the world can say, I believe there's a God. Because God is still with us. And that's what Jesus is saying. And let's see, verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that what? And that the world may know that you have sent me. That's what we're doing. God is with us. God is within us. We are to go out and show the world God has surely come. Jesus has surely come, and that we love them. You know, we love them. Show them that God loves them. Show them that Jesus loves them. We are God on the earth today. Amen. Just like Jesus was God on the earth then. He's given us that responsibility and that job and that, oh my goodness, that privilege to have God within us so that we can go out and be God, as it were, in the world. To show him and to let people see what God is like. Just like Jesus came and he was God in the flesh, and he came to show them what the Father was really like. That the Father really did love them, and that the Father really didn't miss them, and that the Father really did care about them. We've got the same job now, because God is with us, and we're to go out and show them and let God within us shine out so that we can tell and show everybody we meet, God loves you. He misses you, and he cares about you, because God is still with us. And he is, and he's that through us. So God is with us, Emmanuel. God's not against anybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's not against anybody. He's with us. And when you believe on him, he indwells you. He is with you, literally. And that doesn't just mean he indwells you, even though that's true and that's important. But it's even a bigger thing than that. Do you realize he's with you? He backs you up. He's got your back, you might want to say. You know, he's with you. He's on your side. He's with you. He stands ready to help you because he's with you. And he's there for you. He's our Father and he's our friend because he's with us. The God we serve is accessible. We can talk with him anytime. Why? Because he's with us. He's there and he wants to be there for us. He's with us and he wants to be accessible to everybody. He wants those people who don't know him to find out, just come talk to me. I'm open. I got my arms open. I'm ready. Come talk to me. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to show them God, because God is with us. You know, when I think about that, and I'm sure when you think about that, when I think about God is with me, it's just incomprehensible what all that involves. You know, it's just unbelievable, because I know, because he's with me, that he stands beside me. It doesn't matter what I go through. It doesn't matter if it's a hard time or a good time. He's there. He's with me. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. He's with me. It doesn't matter how everything around me may be in turmoil. He's with me. He is with you. It is, I think, one of the best news that was proclaimed about Jesus' birth is that God is with us. God hears you when you pray because he's with you. It's a wonderful promise. And this promise started through a baby. Little baby in the nativity story. That little baby that we've been talking about. And not only that, but that promise of God being with us is for everybody. Everybody. So don't think we're in a special club here. We're not. We need to share it with everybody, because that's why Jesus came. That's why he died. It was for everybody. And as I said earlier, it's not just a Christmas message. It's not just a Christmas message. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us always. Not just Christmas. Always. Always he is with us. So that's just what I wanted to talk about tonight on this. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and watch the conclusion of the movie we've been watching, the Nativity Story. And, you know, they're going to portray how it might have been the night that Emmanuel was born, the night that God literally came and was with us. And it's an exciting time. So we're going to get ready to do that. Thanks, Mark. Well, it's a magnificent story. And the most magnificent part of it is it's not just a story. It's a true story. Emmanuel, God with us.
For the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I left with you forgiveness, peace, prosperity, and protection. And it's up to you to accept and know what I came for and not lay it aside or take it lightly. For I am with you for such a time as this. And I have made a way that you can have that provision that I provided for you. So I would say to you this night, make a commitment anew, saith the Spirit of God. For I am with you and I am for you. And if I am for you, you will not fail. And you will know that I am alive and all is well, for you can trust in me. Thus saith the Spirit of God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Lord. Just give him praise. Hallelujah. That's for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, in just a few hours, we'll be celebrating Christmas officially. I just encourage all of us to take this with us into our celebrations. Keep him the center. Honor him and give him glory through however you celebrate and whoever you're with. Hallelujah. We have a few minutes tonight. I think that we should close by having prayer around your tables. If you're sitting by yourself, find someone to be with. Let's find out, number one, if there's any needs. But then just pray for each other, for your Christmas. Believe for ways to be able to witness to your family and testify about what Christmas really is, okay?
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.